Nobody else would do it, so he said he'd do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Second, get there. And Damien and Mike filling in for Daryl and Eileen this weekend. Appreciate them doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." The title of the message tonight is Classified Information, and I mean that in the sense of what classification are you in? Romans 8:9 says, if any man, the last part of that verse says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" So every Christian, what we see actually there's three classes of people listed in the verses, and it's like some Wednesday nights back. It wasn't that long ago. It seemed like I went over some of this partly, but I'm going to do a little bit more with it tonight, probably. Every Christian, when you think about the Christians, every Christian, no matter how weak or feeble they may be or appear to be, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So if we're saved, that we have the Holy Spirit of God. That Romans 8:9 there tells us that right there. But yet, if that's the case, then we think about this, and all of us are Christians, everybody's in different places. We look at the church as a whole. It's certainly not the power that it could be in the world. It's not the power that it could be in our country, for sure. So since the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, why do we have so much weakness and feebleness in our lives and so much weakness and feebleness in the world, if that's the case, when we think about that? And so the answer is kind of given right here in the text that we went over. And like I say, touched on it not all that long ago on Wednesday night. And Paul speaks about two different kinds of Christian lives. We see in verse 1, he mentions the carnal, chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." And he called them brethren. He said, "Brethren." So that tells us right there that these are saved people for sure, or more than likely saved. They're certainly in the church there. But I think since he called them brethren, he would be referring to people that are actually saved. But he talked about them being as carnal. He talked about them as being as babes. The other class of Christian, of course, is spiritual. He talked about the natural man back there as well. That was the third class. The natural man is the unregenerated man, the unsaved man. And I'll probably say something about him in just a minute. I'm talking about him right now. And the natural man, he says, can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness. They can't understand it. I mean, there's a limited amount. If a person's lost, and they're natural in the natural state still. Obviously, God can convict them through different means, but through the Word particularly. God can convict them. They can understand enough to know they're lost, that they need to be saved. But a lot of the other things, the deeper things, they don't understand that. And we've all known people that are natural, they're not saved, probably don't have any interest in it, and they can't understand the things that we do the same way. They don't know why we love the Lord. They don't know why we love church. They don't know why we like to praise God. They don't know why we want to pray all the time. They don't understand those type things, why we have a Bible, they don't understand why we want to talk to them about being saved, that why we want to talk to them about eternal life and forgiveness of sin. They don't understand that. You can't make a natural man understand it. God's got to do the work with them as well. So we see them. Now listen, here's the tragedy that we see in the church, is that there's many that are the carnal Christian, the babe in Christ. They professing that they're born again, and probably are, but they act and react on the level of the natural man. That's a tragedy in the church. There's, and we understand it when you don't know, like you first get saved, you don't know some things, the sanctification process is getting started and you're trying to do it. But listen, I'm talking about there's something wrong, which we'll get to, when we go for years and years and years and we never get past that. So we act and react on the level of the natural man. You might hear somebody make a statement like this. It might go like this. Well, the other day somebody said something about me and it just wasn't true. So naturally I got angry about it. Naturally you would get angry about it, but we're not natural if we're saved. See, we're supernatural. Huh? We're supernatural. So we're not to act or react or even think on the natural level, on the worldly level, on the carnal level. We should be past that. So, being supernatural, what a difference. But, many who are born again, there's a lot of people like this. And I can even look in my own life, and looking at my early Christian life, there wasn't a lot of progress. There wasn't a lot of growth. And I can tell you exactly why. Because, Christianity was on Sunday morning, and Christianity was on Sunday night, and Christianity was on Wednesday. But, buddy, it wasn't just an everyday experience, my walk with God. My prayer life was weak. My prayer life was shallow. My prayer life was repetitive. My heart had more desire for the things of the world, the affections of the world, than it had for God. I wasn't feeding on the Word of God. I was feeding more on the flesh, or feeding the flesh, from that perspective. And so you can go a long time like that's what I'm going to tell you in a minute. And so you see a lot of people in that same boat today. We still see that. They're born again. I believe they're saved for sure. But in the area of their daily living and their daily life, their actions and reactions are still living in the natural world. Huh? And I get it. I know, sometimes we get in the flesh, right? But when it's a habit, when it's a practice, when you're always living like that, there's something wrong with that. It's not where we ought to be. And so what happened, he used that term, a babe in Christ. How does a babe act? A baby is a selfish being most of the time. Boy, snatch one of them's rattle out of their hand and see what happens, huh? Or they see something that you got, they're attracted to, and that's how they act. Just think about it. Think if you were a baby and there was nobody to raise you, and you were just left to squalor around, and somehow you ate enough food and you lived, and you were out in the wild, you'd be a savage, man. You would just be, there wasn't no manners, you would just be getting for yourself, fending for yourself. You ever watch all those animals, get the primates, like the apes and the monkeys out there, boy, when they go to grab, man, they grabbing and this and that and fighting over a banana, man. It looks kind of like humanity today, right? That's what we're doing, right? And so, but what happens is when you get like a baby, boy, if he doesn't get his way, he gets mad. If you hurt his feelings, all those things like that. So it uses that term right there. And people will get mad. You see people like that. They get mad at you, man. They ain't going to speak to you. Got that nose up in there, buddy. They're just not going to talk. Won't shake your hand. Had that happen. Boy, some people, you can just read them like a book. Well, I'm ticked off so-and-so because when they left, they didn't want to shake my hand. I mean, it's this is what happens. They won't acknowledge the person, won't look at the person. What do we call it? It's childish. It's really childish. But yet adults act the same way. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us, which means the possibility for Christ to live through us. That's the reality of it. We have the possibility. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have living, dwelling in us. And, you know, we're not to be babes. But we see the possibility also to live on the carnal level. We have the possibility to live as a newborn babe lived. We still have that possibility in our life. So I'm going to look at a few of the lives, two of the lives, and then what to do about it here so it's not totally alliterated. First, we see the first thing, the carnal Christian lives. How the carnal Christian lives. The carnal Christian lives this, a life of perpetual conflict and repeated defeat. A life of perpetual conflict and repeated defeat. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" If that's what's going on. Envying, strife, and division. Man, I'm telling you what, it's getting to the point. I'm telling you what, in the church, I'm just going to tell it like it is. You're going to have to take it, pull your toes in, reel them up. It's got to the point in churches nowadays, buddy, you can't go over here and help this brother in need. You know why? Because somebody else is going to be mad about it. Somebody else is going to get their shorts in a knot because you gave them 98 cents more than you gave them. That's a sad state that we're getting in. Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's just like somebody else got help. Somebody else got acknowledged. Somebody else got something done for them. And we didn't do it to everybody. Crying out loud. I mean, you can't, you know, it's just, we get that way. Listen, that's a childish attitude. It's like, it's just like a kid. Well, I didn't get one. You know, whatever it is, you know. You know how, and we when we were kids, we probably acted that way. And unfortunately, we probably act the way as adults as well. And so we see this. Carnality, Paul calls envy, strife, and divisions. And Paul says, listen, this is a carnal way to live. He's not saying they're not saved. He's saying they are saved, but they haven't matured past a certain point. Paul talked about it in his own life, even to a certain degree, when he was in the growing process. He said, you know, the thing that I would do, that I should do, I find I wasn't doing that. And that I shouldn't do, I find out I was doing that. And he said, you know, he went around and around in circles. He said, man, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do. Always, you know, conflict, right? Perpetual conflict, repeated defeat. Now he asked a question, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And the answer was Jesus Christ. He knew that was him. But he talked about that same thing. And, you know, this person that we're talking about here, the carnal Christian, is a saved person, but they live this constant conflict. And guess what? Desperately unhappy. Huh? I'm telling you, if you get somebody that's truly saved, and they are constantly unhappy, It's a lack of spiritual growth, let me say. I'm not saying there's going to be trials in your life and times and frustrating times and those things come and go. But always defeated, always grumpy, always got a sour look on her face, always, you know, just always a stress and a conflict. You know, there's people out there in the world, believe it or not, I mean, y'all probably, there's people out there, they are a perpetual drama going on in her life, huh? And if you get around them, you're going to get sucked up in it. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's just a drama, one thing after another. They're not happy unless they're unhappy. It seems like unhappiness makes them happy. I mean, that's just, you know, that's what he's talking about. Desperately unhappy. Every now and then, they get a little victory spiritually. Every now and then. But mostly it's defeat and failure and a life, listen to me, a life mastered by the flesh. Now you think about this, what we examine. We were talking to Sherry and I talked to somebody today, trying to help them. And we talked about, you know, that so much, like what our battles would be. We battle ourselves. That, you know, that's just a reality. That's going to be true. But I'm going to tell you what, as you mature in Christ, guess what? You ought to be winning more than you lose, right? If you look at your life, and let a man examine himself, the Bible tells us that. If you look at your life and you see what, you know what? Who is ruling my life most of the time? Is it the Holy Spirit of God or is it myself, my flesh ruling my life most of the time? Huh? And you know, if we got a graph there, everybody's got a little graph, looks like one of them things at the hospital, right? And it's probably going up and down some right there. But you know what? It ought to get on one side of the line or the other. You know, it ought to as you mature and you grow and you learn. We're going to have some little dips in there every now and then. But it ought to go that way. And we look at ourselves and see that. What's mastering our life? Is it the Spirit of God or is it the flesh? My flesh that's doing that. And so, you know, like I say, tonight, maybe this describes some of us, some of you that are here. Saved, sins forgiven, but no power over the principle of sin in your life. No power over the principle of sin. You got it. You got the ability, but you're not, you know, you haven't used it or not using it. No joy, no peace, no contentment, always strife, always division, always a struggle that's going on. Now, I'll tell you about the struggle in a minute. You're always going to have that, but I'll get on that in just a second. So, here we are. These folks are in the realm of the Christian life, yet they cannot enjoy it. And I think back in my early Christian life when I was walking that way, mostly on the, if we had a line, the spiritual side and the fleshly side, and I was mostly on the fleshly side, and my Christianity was I was a Christian, I was saved, but you know, I wasn't enjoying my Christian life. Let me put it that way. I just didn't enjoy it. I wasn't enjoying it. I would have this mental battle. Am I going to go to church? Huh? Start battling about in my mind about that. Am I going to go to church? I mean, what a hassle, man. You're dreading Wednesday to show up on Wednesday night because I'm going to have this battle going on in my mind and heart of whether I'm going to go on Wednesday night. I'd start driving home from work. I commuted a long way. I worked really hard for a living. I was a boilermaker. If you don't know what a boilermaker is, just picture a coal miner three times dirtier than a coal miner ought to be. And worked hard. Everything was heavy. Everything was hot. I got burned every single day of my life. I've got scars on my body from that. I was burned every day. It was a hard job. And I'd get in my truck and I'd have to drive maybe 30 miles back to the shop and then 48 miles from there back to my house. And it's Wednesday night. We didn't start church till 7:30. So, you know, well, we were tougher back then than the Christians are today. We started church on Wednesday night at 7:30 and we got out at 9 o'clock. And man, I'd be driving home and I'd think, you know, I think I'm getting a little warm here. I'm pretty sure that I got a headache. Yep. And it's probably going to get worse before I get home. Huh? And, you know, is the truck running okay? I think I hear a little ticking in here. I might have to get out and check it. You know, as a Ford, you always got to check. Have to go out there and check that thing. I might not make it home on time. I was like, you know, I'm starting to think, yeah, you know, I just ain't. By the time, if I wasn't feeling bad, by the time I got home, I done talked myself into it. Huh? Trying to think like, I don't want, you know, I mean, what a way to live. I mean, what kind of a Christian life was that? I mean, boy, and so then you're aggravated with yourself. You know you're doing wrong. You got the Holy Spirit. You know you're doing the wrong thing. You know it's not right. You know you're lying to yourself, but you still go ahead and lie to yourself. You convince yourself. And boy, you know, and then I hate myself because I did that. And then maybe if I laid out and Sherry might go on, then I'd be guilty. See, so now I wasn't happy either. And then she'd come home, I had to snap her head off because I'm unhappy, right? Like a barking dog, right? Huh? That's your Christian life. Sunday morning, man. Sunday night. Oh my gosh. It was just like there was no joy. Couldn't enjoy the Christian life at all. It's a conflict. It was always a conflict. Fighting within myself. Constantly fighting and constantly going down, man. Lost more than I won. Huh? Lost more than I won. Beat up in that right there. So we see that this carnal Christian life is a life of perpetual conflict and repeated defeat. And the second thing is, it's a life, live a life of protracted infancy. Chapter 3, 1 and 2. He talks about, couldn't speak as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. See, Paul's, he didn't hold back, did he? He said, listen, I'd like to talk to you about some spiritual things. This is basically what he's doing. If he was talking to you guys and you fit the bill. I'd like to talk to you about spiritual things, but I can't because you babes. I can't feed you meat. I got to give you the milk. That's what I'm going to have to give you. That's basically what he's telling them right here in this letter. And he tells them because he said, for ye are yet carnal. Ye are yet carnal. So a life of protracted infancy. Listen, it's great when a baby comes into the house. It's great to have a baby. I mean, man, they're great. And you know how they are. I mean, they require some attention. I mean, I know, you know, women, they get one baby, they only have one kid. You know, for a long time they walk around like this, one hip stuck out because they used to carry anyone on there. If they got two, it kind of balances them out, you know. But you see women years later, they still walking like that. Especially, you know, they had like another one. And Ruth met her. She probably walked like that for a long time. Always had a hip stuck out to carry the baby. But you know what? If the baby, and like the baby looks a certain way for a certain amount of time, but if that baby doesn't grow and doesn't change, something wrong with it. We know a year later, if the baby still looks the same, we start to say, hey, the cuteness has wore off. Something wrong with that baby now. Now we start to get concerned about the baby. And if it's another year and another year and another year, and it comes a point when there should be progress, and if it doesn't, we know something's wrong. Well, it's the same way in the Christian life. It's the same exact way. What are the characteristics of a baby? Absolutely dependent on somebody, anybody, everybody. They can't do anything for themselves. I mean, you got to get them up. You got to strap them in the car seat. You got to pick them up. You got to carry them. They can't walk at first. You got to change their diapers. They can't change their diapers. You've got to do everything for this person right here. This happens in the spiritual life too. You know it's going to apply, right? They can't walk. Little baby first can't walk. You got to hold them up, right? And boy, it's all exciting. It's exciting when they finally, look, they took their first step. You know, you see a new Christian, you know, that they finally, there's some progress. We see it. It's just, oh, yeah. But listen, man, we can't keep applauding that same thing. After a while, listen, man, when Danielle gets up now, she was a little baby one time, and there she was, and she wouldn't get up and walk. But see, you know what? I mean, now we go, oh, look, Danielle's walking. Ain't that great? Yeah, oh, boy, woo. Danielle took a step today, honey. She took a step. We don't talk about that no more. You can't keep going back to that and that and that. Baby can't feed himself. Somebody else has got to do it. And a baby's only happy when they're the center of attention. They're only happy when they're the center of attention. It's the same. All those things apply to the carnal Christian. Always leaning on other people. And I don't mean that we can't help people along the way in that. But listen, after 5, 10, 15, 20 years of being a Christian, man, you know, people should be leaning on you at that point. Always have to be propped up. May take a few steps, then they get to wobbling, then there they go. They fall down. Can't feed themselves. Got to have the preacher do it. Got to have somebody else feed them. They cannot feed themselves. They haven't learned that. Got to hold the milk bottle. Got to nurse them every Sunday. But that's all they get. That's all they get. Listen, if you only ate, boy, just think how slim we would be if we only ate on Sunday. Y'all want to try that for a few months? Huh? We're just going to eat on Sunday? Well, we go ahead. Well, I'll come Wednesday night. All right, we'll eat on Wednesday night too. Eat on Sunday and Wednesday. Look like a bunch of POWs, wouldn't we? That's how you look spiritually. If you're only getting fed when I do it, or the Sunday school teacher does it, or whoever's teaching, if that's all you feed on spiritually, you're going to be pretty poor. Could you live like that? Yeah. You know, a person could live only eating that amount of time. Huh? Probably do us all some good, wouldn't it? Can't feed themselves. They haven't learned to feed themselves. Haven't learned to feed themselves the Word of God. And then what happens if you don't feed? You don't grow. If you don't feed on the Word of God, you don't grow. If you, like I said, if you only dependent on what you get, and that was my problem years ago. I was really just dependent on what I got. Well, did you ever read the Bible? Yeah. I read the Bible because the pastor said I ought to read the Bible. I can read the Bible and think about something else at the same time. I still struggle with that sometimes. I'd read it three times. I've forced myself to realize I didn't get anything out of it. I turned around, read it again. So we see that. And, of course, this carnal Christian always gets his feelings hurt. If he's not the center of attention, he pouts. And he's quick to get angry if he's criticized. Signs of not spiritual growth. Third thing is they live a life of fruitlessness and worldliness. No Christ-likeness. Spend more time on worldly activities than in the Word, in prayer meetings, in Sunday school. Not involved in the life of the church. Not reliable to be involved in the life of the church. You know, it's the same thing. Listen. We got them right here. I mean, I'm not calling anybody, but we got folks, listen, they're only going to come on Sunday morning, and that's it. Huh? And they're probably not feeding themselves much the rest of the time either. And they're not coming on Sunday. They're not going to come anymore. That's all they're going to do. And they're not very involved in the life of the church. They're not involved in the work of God. We know it's in every church. Listen, I can say this anywhere in the world. Be right on cue with it. That's just the way it is. Now listen. It's possible to live this way all your life. It's possible for a person to really be saved and live just like I'm talking, this carnal Christian, all their life. They're not very productive. They're not going to have any, the hundredfold. They're not the hundredfold, and they're not the 50-fold. They're not the 30-fold. I mean, they're not getting anything done for God. It's possible. But they're living their life with a grieved, they've grieved the Holy Spirit and quenched the Holy Spirit. This is the carnal Christian. That's how the carnal Christian lives. The spiritual Christian lives. The spiritual Christian lives. Number one, he can't be explained by the world. See that verse in 1 Corinthians 2:15, it says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That means this. Basically, it means that the world can't explain you. They don't know how. We had somebody ask Sherry and I today. They said, "How in the world, with all that you have going on, and all the things you do, how do you cope with that?" We said, "Jesus, man, Jesus, is how we cope with it. That's what we do. That's how we deal with it." They can't explain that. Matthew Henry said about that. He who founds all his knowledge upon principles of science and the mere light of reason can never be a judge of the truth or falsehood of what is received by revelation from the spiritual side of things. They can't explain it. They can't figure that out. And so here we are living our life, and the world can't explain us in any way, shape, or form. But said we, in verse 16, right back up there, it says, "But he who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him." But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The spiritual Christian is living, listen, the spiritual Christian lives a life of conflict too. You know, you're never going to get to that place in this life where you're not going to have the conflict, the battle with the flesh that we talk about. Any kind of course, obviously Satan's going to be after us, of course, but this battle that we have with self and flesh, we're not going to be without that. But what happens is it's a life of repeated victory. There's more victory than loss. You know, that's what it gets down to. Never think, you know, if you think like, boy, you know, I struggle so much, I must not be, you know, having got to a certain place in Christianity where that, listen, you're never going to get to that place till you die or the Lord comes back and gets you. We're always going to have spiritual battle. We are. We're going to have spiritual battle. But listen, what happens is when the spiritual Christian is winning more than he's losing, huh? Because he's got, you know, he's faith. He's exercising faith. But the spiritual man fights on a higher plane than the carnal Christian does. You know, we've got spiritual weapons, warfare. We know that. He knows the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He trusts, rests, and conquers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key right there. That's the difference. It's faith. It's faith. A lot of people say they have faith, but I find out that when it comes to the practical thing of faith, where you have to exercise it, this is where they're falling apart. You got to exercise faith. It's always a thing that works. It's not that he never sins, this man, but that he doesn't practice sin. It's not a habit of sin. The trend of his life is upward and not downward. Another mark of this man is a progressive growth in Christ's likeness, a growth in holiness, purity, temperance, grace, meekness, gentleness. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, that the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. That continues to increase in this person's life. You ought to be able to see that. You ought to be able to see it in your own life. You ought to know it in your own life. And listen, everybody else ought to be able to see it too. Right? In the midst of testing, there's peace. All his actions and reactions glorify God. I ain't saying there won't be a failure every now and then, but I'm saying most of the time. And then the third mark is fruitfulness, fruit that remains. John 15:16 talks about that, fruit that remains, characterized by permanently our character is being formed permanently in the spiritual Christian. The reality of the Christ life is seen. And just as the carnal Christian reveals worldliness, the spiritual Christian reveals a life of separation to the Word of God and to Christ. That's what's seen. So examine yourself. You examine yourself and say, well, which class am I in? A carnal Christian, a babe in Christ, the spiritual Christian? Where am I? What classification? Well, what if I examine myself and I find out that I am a carnal Christian, that I've lived a carnal Christian life? What to do? The third thing, what to do to move from the carnal to the spiritual life? Listen, I'm going to tell you something about that. It's not going to happen just by age. You know, in other words, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. And as years go by and I go to church for years, that I'm just going to, because of age or time, that I'm going to turn into the spiritual Christian. No, it's not automatically. It's an action thing. There's a movement, in other words. You know, there's something that's being done. Look, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Walking in the light. Let me stop on that. I'll read the rest of it to you in a second. We walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible says that the Word of God, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? Now, who takes a flashlight? We go out in the woods, you hunters or whoever goes out. When we go out with a flashlight, we don't shine the light that way and walk this way, right? I mean, we shine the light in the direction. And what do? We shine the light and we go in the direction that the light is shining. If you, it would be a better illustration to look at it like that. We shine the light and walk that way. So what happens is if we walk in the light. Now, what is the light? The Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, if I didn't get that backwards. The Word of God, right? The Word of God is the light. So the light, we got the light, right? Now, is the light telling, if the light is pointing this way, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and you're walking that way, you're a carnal Christian. You know, you're not walking in the light. You're not following light. This is how you get to be a spiritual Christian light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 9 of 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the trouble with a carnal Christian is he's unclean. He's unclean. He's carnal. And the things which we allow to continue in our lives, which are contrary to the nature of the Spirit of God, worldliness, faithlessness, lack of growth, they're all marks of uncleanness. All of those things are marks of uncleanness. So we know, you know, the Holy Spirit and what he leads us to, or how he works in our life. The Bible tells us that he is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17. He's the Spirit of truth. So if a Christian is continuing or acting a lie and professing to be something that he's not, that's carnality. And God demands, what does God want us to do with all sin? God wants us to deal with it, right? When you say confess it, we confess it to God. Deal with it. You know, be honest about it. Deal with that. This is when you start moving. You know, I guess look at it like this. To move from the carnal to the spiritual life, the very first thing is you got to be honest with yourself. Because you'll never be honest with God about yourself until you become honest with yourself about yourself. And say, you know what, this is my need, this is my failure. I know I shouldn't be doing this, and I know I ought to be doing that. And I'm gonna quit making excuses about it. That's another thing. That's a kid, right? Huh? Isn't that a kid right there? You can get certain kids. We know some of them, at least one. Huh? We know you get certain kids. I don't care what it is. How come you did this? Well, you know, I got an excuse. Why'd you do that? Well, I got an excuse. There's a million excuses why they can't do what they're supposed to do, right? Make excuses. Always an excuse. Instead of just saying, yep, I did wrong and I shouldn't have done it, you know. Confess. You got to be honest with yourself. You'll never be honest with God while you're still lying to yourself. You can't be that way. And so you have to deal with it. We know that he is the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. The spirit of faith. The Christian who's not trusting God to deliver him from the root principle of sin. The root principle. Man, listen, what do we say all the time? We need deliverance from ourselves. Our biggest problem is ourselves. We need deliverance from that. And that's the root principle. The root principle of sin is we are born sinners. That's the root principle of the thing. We got that sin nature that has to be dealt with. He is also the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, Hebrews 10:29. The Spirit of grace. What, like when we look at what's internal on us, you know, what's internal? Unforgiveness, I spoke about that. Bitterness, if it's in your life, harboring resentment against someone. It's got to be dealt with. It's the Spirit of grace. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, everything is dealt with by the Holy Spirit. Those things are not of God, but of the devil. The Spirit of holiness, Romans 1:14. Do you allow in your life that which is unholy? You allow anything unholy in your life? The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Spirit. Your body. What's been going on in the temple? What's been going on in the temple? He's the Spirit of glory, 1 Peter 4:14. Do you allow worldly affections to go on in your life? Are you living for His glory or for the world? His glory or the world? This is it. That would categorize either way. But what we do is, see, it's allowing the Holy Spirit of God to deal with us on every aspect of what's going on in our life. They have to be dealt with. Listen, and it's not like a one-by-one thing. I'm going to tell you what, it's not deal with this, deal with this. Listen, man, it can be all dealt with at one time. Confess, trust for cleansing, surrender yourself, surrender your body. Romans chapter 12, 1, present your body a living sacrifice. Present that to God. It's more than mental assent. It's physical. See, it said that our body is the temple of the Spirit and that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's not in the mind. It's physical. It's a movement here. It's not just sitting there thinking about it. Confessing, cleansing, surrender. Confessing, cleansing, a life of faith. Which group are you classified in? Natural, the natural man, the carnal Christian, or the spiritual Christian? Those are three things right there. Classified information. Where are you classified? Let's all stand. Paul, if you come, lead us for singing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Lord, I thank you for getting us through. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for us. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves. Lord, examine ourselves, just have a conversation with you, Lord, about where we are in our relationship with you, Lord, and help us to listen to you, Lord, and how you deal with our hearts. That's my prayer, Lord, and just help us to be all we can be. No reason to live carnal lives. There's no reason to live defeated lives, Lord, that we can be walking in victory and confidence in you, Lord. And be a force in the world, Lord, be a powerful witness and have a powerful testimony. That's where we all should be, Lord. So I pray for that for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.